Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, you mighty conqueror of death and the grave, as we celebrate your victory over sin and all spiritual enemies, we ask you to pour out upon us an abundant measure of your Spirit. Open our eyes so that we may come to the full realization of what it means to be called your brothers. Grant us the same joy that Mary Magdalene experienced at your resurrection from the dead, until we too will be called to be with your Father and our Father, with your God and our God. Amen. The text which has been assigned for this morning's meditation is taken from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18, which you have just heard read at the lectern. We will look this morning at how Christ has turned sorrow into joy. Starting with the portion of scripture that precedes our pericope, the first part of John 20, you heard read yesterday as part of the lesson. And maybe you recall that in it we were told that Mary Magdalene had gotten up very early in the morning and gone to the tomb. Seeing that the stone was already rolled away, she quickly ran to tell Peter and John, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter and John then quickly run to the tomb, survey the situation, and return to their homes. Meanwhile, Mary returns to the tomb. Standing outside the tomb, she sobs loudly. It is at this point that she really lets down, and all her emotions come out and show really the depth of her despair. Two angels in the tomb ask, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Her immediate reply is, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Who is the "they" that Mary is talking about here? "They have taken away my Lord." We can only assume that she is referring to Jesus' enemies here. And as one thinks about it, that may be a rather logical conclusion. The stone is rolled away, the body is gone. It really couldn't have been the 12 disciples, because they had just a few days earlier scattered in every direction. They were too fearful to, at this point, come and violate Roman law by breaking the seal which Pontius Pilate had put on the tomb to roll away the stone. Not only that, they would have had to get rid of all the soldiers that were standing guard. And there was no evidence of a struggle in the area. So maybe Mary's conclusion was not too illogical. Before the angels reply to Mary's statement, a man behind Mary says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary, so intent on finding the body of Jesus, does not recognize her Lord standing right in front of her. But supposing that he is Joseph's gardener, says, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Mary is still bound and determined that she's going to find the corpse of our Lord, and she can see no other option. However, now she is assuming that maybe the body of her Lord is in friendly hands. And maybe this is not without logic either. Because in the last verse of John 19, the previous chapter, it says, "Therefore, on account of the Jewish day of preparation, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there." So simply because of the fact that they were pressed for time, this tomb happened to be close by, they put Jesus in there. Maybe now Joseph's gardener was told to move the body of Jesus to a more suitable tomb. And Mary wants to know where that is. Again, maybe not too illogical a conclusion. This whole scene changes drastically with the utterance of one word by Jesus: Mary. Mary, now recognizing Jesus as her living Lord, is so overjoyed, she exclaims, "Master," and throws herself at him, grasping him tightly. She does not want to lose him ever again. Jesus brings her back to her senses when he says, "Stop clinging to me." When Mary recognizes her Lord as alive, her sorrow is turned to great joy. One time I heard this text presented in such a way that Mary was made to sound like a non-thinking, illogically functioning person. And maybe in her sorrow she was. But I think there's another viewpoint, and I feel that her conclusions might have been rather logical. Her problem was that she started with the wrong supposition, that she was going to find the dead body of Jesus. She did not remember Jesus' words that he would rise again on the third day, and consequently was looking for his dead body. Sometimes we may be spiritually illogical. When our faith is weak, Satan may cloud our vision so we don't see anything but one incorrect view. As long as we are in this mortal flesh, we may periodically start with the wrong spiritual supposition, one that is motivated by our flesh. Thankfully, the pericope does not end here. The second half of verse 17 is the most glorious part of the whole pericope. Our Lord commissions Mary, "Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." He commands, "Go and tell my brethren." Now, Jesus had before called his disciples children, and he had called them friends, but it's not until the resurrection that he calls them brethren. It is noteworthy that as soon as Jesus arose from the dead, he sees to it that his disciples learn of it, and that they take comfort in it, that they also learn the reason for his resurrection. Again, Jesus handles this situation very gently when he deals with his disciples by calling them brethren. That's almost incomprehensible, that Jesus would call his disciples at this point brethren. His disciples were so fearful that they hid themselves behind locked doors. Peter had 3 times denied his Lord, cursing and swearing that he did not know him. And all the disciples deserted Jesus and were ashamed of him. Yet he calls them brethren. Isn't that comforting for us? We're just like the disciples in that we sin every day. We fail to meet God's standard of perfection. We are disobedient and even rebel against God. Yet through faith in Christ, as the only means of our salvation, we become his brothers. Hence our sorrow of deserved rejection is turned into joy when Jesus calls us brothers. If Jesus is our brother, that then means that God is our Father. Jesus told Mary to tell his brethren that I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He wants her to inform them of the deep meaning of the resurrection, namely that God is now their Father and they are adopted children of God. As a result of Christ's resurrection, we too may approach God as his children, addressing him in prayer as our Father. This is how Christ has turned our sorrow into joy. As heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, heaven is ours. Death is swallowed up in victory. Christ's resurrection gives us the certainty that his sacrifice has been accepted by God, and we are now viewed by God in the light of his Son. As surely as Christ's resurrection is true, so surely shall we, through faith in him, obtain eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen.